Lord, learn about you, God. Challenge our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to be different for you. God, you overcame this world and you did it for us. Lord, you sent down the treasure of heaven to be humiliated and beaten and killed, and you did it for us, Father. But he rose again 3 days later, God. He overcame death, Lord. Thank you for that example, Lord, for his sacrifice. Father, help us never to take that in vain, Lord, but to go every single day, Father, courageous for you, to do what others won't, to go where others won't, to proclaim your name to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Gustavo, come on up here. Hi, Gustavo.
Hi.
Good morning. Oh, buenos dias?
Yeah, buenos dias.
Great. All right. Boom. That means go.
All right.
Bueno, me llamo Gustavo para los que no me conocen.
It's on. Put it right up there, honey.
Okay.
See ya?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Me llamo Gustavo para los que no me conocen y soy, voy a traducir un breve resumen del servicio de hoy. Estaremos hablando de lo que muchos conocemos como el Viernes Santo. Y a través del servicio, como va hablando de este tema, va a haber preguntas que va a contestar, como qué tipo de gente había en esta multitud de este día, qué eran sus respuestas, cómo reaccionaron a lo que vían, y qué tipo de personas somos, si somos personas del Viernes Santo o personas del Domingo de Pascua. Y si vivimos sin el poder y la esperanza, y también si somos gente que vive en el poder de la resurrección de Cristo.
That's all? I wouldn't know that. All right. Okay.
Work on it.
Thank you. Okay, come here for a minute. Hold this for a minute. Okay. Last week was our first week in doing this because we have so many people who speak English as their second language. And so I talk so fast and many who speak Spanish miss what I'm going to say.
Right.
So did anybody come to you after services last week and say anything about this in this process? I did. I don't know if anybody came to you or not and talked to you about speaking, at least giving them a synopsis of what our message was going to be about. That's what he just did, is giving them the synopsis and some of the main points of what I'm going to cover now. Anybody comment to you at all? I mean,
all the English speakers.
All the English speakers did.
What were you saying?
What were you saying? Great.
A lot of them told me that was good, and I told them,
how would you know?
So, yeah, I actually had someone think that as soon as I started speaking, they're like, oh, it's probably a mission trip to Mexico. And I was like, you should have jumped in and volunteered.
Yeah, that's what it is. All right. Great. Thank you, Gustavo. That is why we're in many cases doing it. And I had a number of people last week just comment how much they appreciated it. I actually had one lady that said, I have a friend who speaks Spanish fluently, and again, English is their second language barely, and that even from that synopsis, that she felt like she could invite her to church and at least to catch what we're saying. So that's why we do that, and we will continue to do so in the services as we go. All right, I got to clarify something here. Last week, we talked about Monday, Thursday. We talked about the Passion Week. Today, we're going to talk about Good Friday. But let me. I was totally blown away here. I realize for some of you, your prayers weren't answered, and some, you know, maybe actually rejoice that it's not true. But I spoke last week on Monday, Thursday about the disciples and how they would have been disappointed in the issues of Jesus saying, hey, I'm leaving, and he trained them, and then he said, it's time to go. It's time for me to leave and for you to be on your own, and you need to start walking it. And people are going to know that you're my disciple because you love one another. And so, you know, that was tough because they had devoted their lives to him, and now he's going to be gone. And so they were discouraged within that. I never saw this or expected this, folks, but for some of you, this will be discouraging. For a few, you may be encouraged. I'm not resigning, okay? Some of you, may not have thought about that at all, but I had a number of people right after the service asked me, are you setting this up to resign? Are you going someplace? I had emails. I had calls. This last week, I had to make a run to Phoenix, down to Grand Canyon University, where Cassie is. And I had people who text me and asked me, are you going to be a professor at Grand Canyon? Because that's where you're headed this week. So for those of you who may have been thought, hey, he's going to resign, I'm not. So you're still stuck with me. So that, yeah, I know. That's just, where's Jeff? You know, no. That's the issue. So anyway, just to clarify that, that was not a setup. That was just the message, and I apologize. I got a great kick out of all the different things that were texted and sent and emailed and spoken, even before I got out of here. People are saying, are you resigning? You know, so that's the kind of message you're setting us up with. That wasn't the case. We're talking about Passion Week. We're talking about just as we go through from Monday, Thursday, that time when Jesus tells them, and as you look through both the Gospels, you'll see that Monday, Thursday, Jesus did a lot of teaching to them during that time. And he comes into Friday, what we call Good Friday, and he continues that, and yet events start to take place, defining events, not just the issue of teaching. This week, in preparation for today, I had a friend tell me, you know what, you know, you just need to, because I was struggling with, there's so much with Easter and Good Friday and Monday, Thursday, and you struggle which way to go. And this friend just said, knew that I was struggling, and actually wrote me and said, decide what God is telling you your people need. Now that hit me in a couple of ways, because you are my people. And I'm thankful. I'm eternally thankful. I'm thankful for the role God's given me here. And yet there's an awesome responsibility to try to figure out every week what God's saying. And not just to me, but what he is wanting me to say to challenge your heart and to create change in our life. And some weeks that seems to go well, and some weeks that doesn't seem to go so well. But we're looking at Good Friday here. And as I went through Good Friday, as I read it in all of the synoptics, as I read it, and again, we know the story so well of Easter and resurrection. But as I looked at Monday, Thursday, and if the disciples were discouraged on Monday, Thursday, realizing that he's saying, I'm going to go away and you can't go with me. You can't go. If that's the case, now he's looking at Friday, and now he's saying, okay, I'm going to go away and you can't go, nor do you want to go because I'm going to be crucified. And the whole event, the whole narrative, for us the narrative of Easter, and yet for him and the disciples and those there, the events of Easter start to unfold. And so I wanted to look at who was there. What was the crowd that day? What was the crowd around Good Friday? And I know that we all have seen this. This is nothing new. This is not going to blow you away in any way. But I think we need to take a look, because as I look at some of the people who were the crowd around the cross, the crowd of that day, there's some things that we can gather from it. And I think first you have to see right away that the crowd that were there were those who were the scoffers, those who would mock, those who mocked him. Luke 23, most of our passages are coming out of Luke 23. If you have it, you can read it. It says, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is Christ of God, the chosen one, if he is that one, let him save himself. Let him take care of himself. You know, like taunting him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By its wounds we have been healed. I will tell you that verse, to me, is very, it's very important, not just because it's God's word, but I will take that in the middle there. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Have you ever been falsely accused? Have you ever been perhaps spoken ill against and yet you've done nothing? Perhaps in a job or situation you had, there have been times in my life with accusations or hurtful things. And I think the essence of forgiveness in our life, we cannot retaliate. We can't, but though we are not like God, though we are not Christ, I think in our mindset, we have to come to the point when somebody comes to us and hurls those insults, we don't need to seek revenge. We don't need to get nasty and ugly and hurtful. We need to entrust ourselves to him who trusts judgely. Who really, he sees us and he judges us justly. He knows our heart. And don't worry about everybody else. Just know your heart. But the scoffers, they came and they mocked. They came and they mocked him. So obviously a large part of that crowd were the scoffers. But there were those who were not just scoffers. They were just spectators. They may not have done anything. In fact, if you look into the Greek, you'll find that they may not have been. Verse 48 of that same chapter, Luke 23, when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. I started looking at, I call these yellow tape people. We have many officers in our church and correctional officers. You know how you put up a yellow tape and immediately it draws a crowd. They put a police line across and immediately there's a crowd. And many times these are the yellow tape people. They see something going on. They're the spectator. Hey, what's going on over there? Let's go see what's going on over there. Let's go find out what's going on. Maybe the news is there. Maybe we'll get ourselves on TV picture, you know. All the kind of things. These are the spectators. And they come, these yellow tape people. And they come and they look. And it says that really when they watched what was happening, they beat their breasts and went away. And as near as I can discover in the Greek, what that's really saying is that these people saw that there was a miscarriage of justice being taken place. And it frustrated them. They were spectators. They weren't going to say anything about it. They were not scoffers. They were not mockers. But they just said, this is not right, and they walked away. Some people just watching the situation and then leaving. Obviously, we didn't have the religious leaders. The religious leaders, this is where it all began. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, when we start the events of this day, he had just spent Monday, Thursday, but while that was happening, here was Judas going to betray Jesus. And the religious leaders were willing to do that 30 pieces of silver. No big deal. Because all of a sudden, they started it all. Jesus was shaking tradition. Jesus was shaking up the tradition of the religious norm, of the way it has been done, of their religion and of their spectrum, of their box. He was shaking it all up. And they didn't like that. They didn't care for that. Because they had a hierarchy. It wasn't about an intimate and dynamic relationship with Christ at all in that. They didn't see God in that way. They saw it as a system of works. They saw it as a system of how I can become somebody and look at the position I've gained. And they started it all. And sometimes when Jesus came along and they started shaking tradition, they said he was blasphemous. He's blasphemed saying he's God. And yet they of all people should have known the truth. They of all people should have read the prophecies. They knew what had been prophesied. They knew what was going to be taking place, and they missed it. And they could be religious people. They knew what had been, at that point in time in the Old Testament, they knew all of the oral tradition. They knew it. They knew it. They should have really recognized it, but they missed it. Very religious, but missed the truth. Pilate, we know it goes through Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate, all of them, but Pilate himself being the one who could really make a decision, he was became neutral. He just became neutral. Not willing to commit. Well, you take care of it. No, we can't do that because the time frame, you need to rule. You need to make, and well, let me release him to you because you guys have this custom, you can do this. No. And what did he do? He washed his hands of it. Just neutral. I want to be politically correct. I don't want to be taken anyway. I'm just going to, you guys do your own thing. We come to Barabbas. I'm sorry, Simon, because I've gotten the notes here. Simon. I think Simon is very interesting. I think there's some relationship to Simon and people in churches every day. Even people in relationship who say they have a relationship with God. Verse 26 of chapter 23. As they led him away, that was Jesus, they seized Simon, the Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him, and they made him carry it behind Jesus. Are you forced to be here today? Are you forced to come to the cross? We have students who are forced to come to church. We have spouses who are guilted into coming to church. We have people who love God who are guilted out of the legalistic viewpoint that says, I got to go or I'm going to be in trouble. Simon, who was forced to the cross. We have Barabbas, who really, when the first man Jesus died for, who really gave his life for, was Barabbas. Barabbas said, hey, I don't deserve any of this. And look at what God did. God sent his son, and Barabbas is released doing nothing to deserve that. Knowing he didn't deserve that. The people of the cross, Barabbas was one of them. And then really, Barabbas is the one person who could literally and figuratively say, he took my place. He took my place. We see the centurion as well as the thief. But the centurion, chapter 23, verse 47. The centurion, he was the leader of the guard, the captain of the guard. seen what had happened. Okay, now wait. He had just led his men. If you go back and read Luke 23 and Matthew and Mark, you will find that they beat him. And they whipped him. And they taunted him. And they placed him and they nailed him to a tree, to a cross. They dropped it in the ground with a mighty thud. And when it was all said and Jesus said, "It is finished," obviously the centurion didn't see the care in his hands because they were nailed down. They didn't see his feet because they were nailed down. But there was something that that centurion either saw in Jesus' eyes or heard or had witnessed that he did entrust his heart to him and judge justly. And he said, when all that had happened, what Jesus responded, he praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." The thief on the other side of the cross said, "This man's done nothing." The issue of our life, a centurion, perhaps there are seekers, his eyes were opened. He wasn't so callous to the truth of what he had seen. And of course, we have the disciples. We have the disciples who were hidden. They were there, but they were far off. You see, folks, this was the Good Friday world. This was the world that Good Friday. And the issue is today is that some of us are living today in the Good Friday world. We haven't passed on to the Resurrection Sunday. We haven't passed on. We are still living in the Good Friday world. You're going through the motions. You're going through the routine of being religious. You're going through the things that you've done because you've always done them. But is there life in that? You may live with self-doubt. You may live with fear. Is God really big enough? Because on Good Friday, they didn't know what was going to take place. They went from discouragement to devastation because Jesus was crucified. He was dead. He was hung on the cross. And that Good Friday world to them collapsed life as they knew it. They were part of the crowd. Where is this God? Jesus, you said all these things. The Good Friday crowd lives with self-doubt and fear. The Good Friday world lives for number one. Watch out. Don't get fooled. Peter understood that on Good Friday. When they said, "Hey, aren't you one of them?" No, I don't know this guy. Look out for number one. Don't get fooled again. I imagine Peter saying, "Wait a minute, he may have fooled me once already. We thought we were going to go with him. We thought we were going to establish a rule. We thought the Romans were going to be kicked out and we were going to be there." Don't be fooled. Guard against being betrayed. The Good Friday world looks out for ourselves. In a Good Friday living, in this Good Friday world, hope seems gone. There is no hope. All the things that we attach our hope to fades and fails. And that's what the Good Friday world. And there are those who say, "We know Christ, but really you have no hope in him because you don't trust that he is the everlasting God who will not fail." Because you're living in the Good Friday world and not the resurrection morning world. You're living in a Good Friday world where you just see hope seems gone and despair is overwhelming. And to trust in a God, you wonder, can I really place my trust in him? Can I really have confidence in trusting God? We have no problem seeing that our hope, if your hope is in money, how fast can that change? Man, it can be gone, a heartbeat. If your hope is in your health, uh-oh. If your hope is in possessions, uh-oh. There's nothing that you can place your hope in that gives you any certainty. Our trust and our hope has to be not on Good Friday, but on Sunday morning at the resurrection when the stone rolled away and Jesus and the angels say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Because Good Friday people are living among the dead and not among the living. You may be religious. Good Friday world has people who are very, very religious. They were celebrating Sabbath past. They understood. They were very, very religious, and yet they had no power. Oh, this week I had a person tell me, "Well, I believe there is a God." Well, good for you. Because Satan himself believes and knows there is a God. And you can be religious and saying, "I'm here because I know there's a God." But you can be here today and know there is a God, but not know that God. Because we can look good. We can put the robes on. We can have our little, thank you, Jesus. We can have our kumbaya moments. We can shed a tear. We get all warm and emotional fuzzies. Because you can do that and know there is a God. But only knowing that God. As we looked at last week, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In knowing that God, he takes you beyond that and gives you life and life to the fullest. In Good Friday world, you can be religious and not know him. But what are the Easter world people? When we come to Easter world living, when we come to that Sunday world living, when we come to the resurrection, first we see resurrection people. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9, great passage. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, so that no one can boast, because that's what we would do if we thought we could do it. Good Friday people boast in their religious accomplishments. But people who live in the resurrection know that it's nothing about me. It's all about him. Resurrection people know the power of God, realizing that the power comes from an empty tomb. Resurrection people know that there is a purpose in life, that he created me with a purpose, that we are to be the visible representations of Christ. He says that in the coming generations, in the coming days, that incomparable riches would be seen through us, that his grace and mercy would be seen through us. For by grace, and that's the purpose that he gives, for we have been created, that God ordained us to do these things. Resurrection people live with purpose. They live with power. And folks, let me tell you today, Good Friday people have nothing to praise God about because he failed them. Good Friday people have nothing to praise God about because he's dead. Everything he said was a lie. But come Sunday morning, everything, Easter people have praise in their mouth. And they look up and they say, praise God, hallelujah, he's alive. And all of a sudden, resurrection people know how to worship because it comes from their heart. It's not about a dead religion that we come to. It comes from praise and trust in the God who conquered death, who rolled the stone away. Resurrection people are people of hope. Resurrection people have an assurance. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, praise be to God. Sunday morning, people can praise God. And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy, has given us new birth into a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance. Some of you want a 401k. Here it is, Jack. Into an inheritance. No, I don't mean personally, Jack. I better change my name. John. No, that won't work. Mike's won't work. Okay, Herman. Herman, somebody in there. Listen, you want an inheritance? It is an inheritance that can never perish. It will never spoil. It will never fade. It is kept in heaven for you and for me. Listen, Sunday morning people, not Good Friday morning people. Friday morning people, Good Friday, they're devastated. Their God's dead. He failed them. But come Sunday morning, the resurrection, all of a sudden we have people of hope. We are people of assurance because he has changed us. He has changed us. We were once this way. We were once dead. Now we're alive. We are a new creation in Christ. We are changed. And listen, folks, not only are we changed, we are to be changing every day, living in the wonder of God, being completely conformed to what he is in us. And the question today is, who are you? Who are you? I mean, if you really got honest, are you a Good Friday person who really believes that God can't meet your need? Are you really a Good Friday person that you really, oh, you have the religious form and the function, and you're sitting here and you look like, oh boy, aren't we having good? And didn't Paul and Venetia and everybody do so good this morning? We may have had a warm, fuzzy moment, but the reality was, when you walk out these doors, can you trust in that God? If you're a Good Friday morning person, guess what? You can't do that. You can't do that. But if you're a Sunday morning person, if you realize the inheritance that you have, you will not be forced. You will not be like Simon, who was forced to come to the cross. You'll be here on Sundays because you praise God. Here's where it's at. Here's where it's happening. You won't be forced to come. You will be religious, but you won't be neutral. You won't be saying, let me just be politically correct. No, you will be power. You won't be hiding as the disciples. Listen, are you a Good Friday morning person or are you a Sunday morning person? when the resurrection has happened and you're alive and you see that we have a living God who knows us and who loves us and cares for us, and we will be changed and are changed, and we are to go outside of these four walls and be the ambassador of that mercy and that grace that was given to us. The world does not need to see any more Good Friday people. Stop living in the Good Friday world and step up and see that God loves you and cares for you. He is alive, and that gives us purpose. It gives us praise. Can you praise him? That's what we need to be doing in every situation. Let's pray. God, this morning, there are those who need to experience living the Easter morning and not Good Friday. It's easy in this world for us to be so encumbered with Good Friday living, not really believing that you can make a difference in our life, not really trusting in you, not really placing our hope and our heart in your care. God, may we come to understand that you are alive through the Lord Jesus, and that Sunday morning life change, help us not to be living in the Good Friday world, but help us to be living in light of the resurrection, who gives us purpose, who gives us power. And God, may it always be praise on our lips. To him be glory and glory alone forever. And all God's people said, amen. Paul.